What's going on, gamers? Welcome back to the Graveyard. I'm the Graveyard Gamer, and thank you for joining me for this episode of Graveyard Gaming. Now, today's episode, I want you to know it is heavily influenced by Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny. I have a couple things to talk about. I want to talk about reviews, which is based on the Indiana Jones movie. Not that I'm reviewing the movie, but it got me thinking about reviews in general. Then I want to talk about an idea for an Indiana Jones game, and yes, I know there's one for Xbox, and I will speak to that. As much as I've tried not to, I don't think I can bite my tongue on that. And then I want to talk about what I would love from an Indiana Jones game. And then I'm going to talk about my graveyard shift that was, in fact, influenced by Indiana Jones. I love Indiana Jones, man. Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade is my favorite movie of all time. I grew up with a little cowboy hat and a shoestring that I thought was my whip until I got a whip when I was like 6 or 7. Indiana Jones is huge for me. So definitely an indie fever in this episode. So with that being said, let's jump in and let's talk about what I meant by Indiana Jones influencing my thoughts on reviews. So gamers, when I talked about Indiana Jones and the review for Dial of Destiny, I want you to understand that it's not because I'm going to review the movie on this show. I would tell you, I absolutely loved that movie. My good friend Hulking Yoda over at Lost at Sea Gaming, a gaming podcast right here on Spotify, he loved it as well. We grew up with Indy. We loved Indy. I talked about that in my intro. But I want to talk about the review scores themselves and how review scores have a major impact. Now, I will get to gaming, but let me bring up the movie part of it because about a month ago when this movie started getting its reviews, critics absolutely demolished this movie. I mean, everything from saying the CGI looked bad to, oh, it's a very woke movie. That's what I've seen a lot of. It's a woke movie. Let me just say this. There's nothing woke about this movie. Indiana Jones is 80. Right? Like, let's just be real. He's an older gentleman. At the same time, in a personal life situation, he's dealing with something that probably a lot of parents dealt with in the 1960s. And at the same time, let me point out that everybody points to his companion, who's a female lead in this movie, and go, see, she's trying to be the next Indiana Jones. They're cramming it down our throats. It's not. She's a fantastic character. She, in no way, shapes, or form, becomes the next Indiana Jones. There's no passing of the torch. Phoebe Cates Waller is just literally a strong female character, and if you don't like that in Indiana Jones, then you probably shouldn't watch Raiders of the Lost Ark, because Marion is extremely strong for a woman. You probably shouldn't watch Holy Grail either, because Elsa is also a fantastic female character. So ultimately, I'm just saying, those reviews have caused people online to just not go see this movie. Like, it's funny, like, you sit there and you see the review scores, and then you notice that the sales are not there, and you're like, what is going on? You go online and you look, and so many people are complaining that it's woke, but then they're also saying, I refuse to see this movie. They're destroying my hero, but they haven't seen it. Ladies and gentlemen, people are being influenced by a review to the point that they are putting their shields up and refusing to go see this movie, so they have no way of knowing, but then they're getting online, joining on this, building up this campfire to it's an inferno to where people don't want to enjoy this movie. They're being told it's trash. Now, I bring this back to gaming because I know I do reviews for gaming. I talk about games during my graveyard shift. But I want you to know, here and now, my points of my reviews are never to tell you to spend your money or don't spend your money. Unless a game is just absolutely horrible, I'd never make that stance. My reviews are just so you understand where I'm coming from. For me to paint a picture of my experience playing this game. I don't want you to miss out on a game that you may absolutely love because I didn't. Or I don't want you to go buy a game and just trudge through it because I loved it but you wouldn't. Now a great example for that is Gotham Knights. See, the reviews on this game were ridiculous. I mean, I saw fives from IGN. Look, IGN, let's be real. On a 1 to 10 scale, it's really a 7 to 10 scale, because if you put something out there and it's a 6.5, that might as well be a 2 or a 0. Really, people are looking from 7 to 10, in all honesty. Now, my show, I like to think I have a little bit more integrity, that you know that, hey, if it's under 7, it probably is some kind of broken, but as long as it's above that 2. But when you go to IGN, if it's below a 7, it means that game is garbage. That's what they have done to their audience to understand that. Well, with Gotham Knights, it got a 5. And I have played the game. It is not broken. There is not parts of this game that does not work. You guys can hear my review. Had I sat there and I just listened to IGN, or the magnitude of people who have not played this game, and you could tell they haven't played this game because the game didn't sell well, but if you go on Twitter and you just search Gotham Knights, so many people at launch were just hating on the game. And reality is, they weren't actually playing the game, people. They were just sitting there and building off of what other people were saying because other people found whatever reason to just trash it. Gamers, my review, point blank, I gave it a pretty high score, and I told you guys, you may not like it as much as me, but it's solid. There's a lot there. If I'd let those reviews influence me, I may have not played one of my favorite games that I have played this year. Reviews are important. I do think it is important to have people go out there and kind of tell you, hey, here's a heads up. Here's what you can expect from this game. But I also think you have to temperament yourself. I think you have to make sure that if you're hyped about a game, you don't let other people's opinion influence you to the point that you just jump on a bandwagon or you refuse to do it. For example, I am so stoked for Spider-Man 2. It comes out this October 20th. I've told you guys, that's like probably the next big purchase I'm going to buy. It's my number one anticipated game throughout this entire year. But I'll tell you what, let's say a review comes out and the reviews are sevens. It's not going to stop me from buying the game. I'm so excited about it. Let's say the reviews came out and they're five. Now, I may take that and take what they say. I'm going to check out multiple different sources to see what's going on. And I'll look at those reviews. I'll see what they'll say. And I'll kind of just judge, are there negatives the same kind of negatives that I would see? Are they just complaining about some eyes and some CGI graphics? Are they just complaining about little things that don't matter? You know, I mean, sometimes there are so many little things that people nitpick on that I've seen. For example, IGN complained because the story didn't go the way they wanted it to, even though it was a good story in a game. That's actually really something they said. So it's one of those things that's, I'm going to look at all that. And then maybe at that point I go, you know what? Whoa, let me not buy this game. Maybe let me wait for a sale, right? But I'm not going to just outright go, screw this game, and now I'm going to hop online and say this game sucks. Lord of the Rings Gollum just came out, and ladies and gentlemen, I've never felt that I was going to buy that game, right? If it had came out and the reviews would have been 10s, I still don't think I would have bought that game. But it's something I wouldn't mind trying out. I wouldn't mind playing. However, we all know those reviews were horrible and the things that people have shown online and stuff. So that's enough for me to say, okay, cool, I definitely am not going to buy it. It's going to influence my decision in a way to say, okay, I'm going to take what the good and the bad is out there, what people are saying, and I'm going to make my decision on how I go forward with this game. Do I ignore it? Do I try it out? But the one thing I'm not going to do is just pile on the hate for something I haven't done. And that's what we're seeing online, is people are taking reviews as gospel. For example, and I'm not hating on anybody. I'm going to drop a few names here. If Angry Joe on YouTube puts out a review for a game and he absolutely trashes it, there's a ton of people that watch him in his audience. You know, he can get a million views for his reviews that'll sit there and say, well, he was going to give it, he gave it a 4, so you know what, I'm not going to play this game, when they might be missing out on a fantastic game. At the same time, he might give that game a 9 out of 10, and somebody who had no interest in the game goes, well, you know, since Angry Joe liked it, and you know what, they absolutely can't get into it. Ladies and gentlemen, I typically have a pretty favorable review when it comes to games. And a lot of times it's because I do some research. I'm not going to say before every game I got to do a ton of research and look at every review. That's not what I'm saying. But in the build up to Spider-Man 2, I'm looking at the previews. I'm seeing what the developer's saying. I follow Insomniac on Instagram and Twitter to kind of see the pictures they share. You know what I mean? Like, I know going into this game what I'm excited for. I can temper my expectations, right? So that when I play this game, it can be something that can be a little better than I thought, a lot better, maybe a little worse than I thought. Very few times have I ever picked up a game and been like, oh my god, this game is absolute trash. Because I've looked into things, I see what they're going to say, because my big thing about this is, I don't like to waste time or money. Those are two resources that you just can't get enough of, right? I can go out there, I can buy a bunch of games, but if I don't have enough time to play those games, it doesn't do me any good. And I can have a ton of time to play games, but if I haven't went out and made the right choices when it comes to purchasing games or whatnot, I'm not going to have anything to play. So ultimately, at the end of the day, what I'm telling you is just be realistic. This Indiana Jones Dial of Destiny, it has been something me and Hulk and Yoda have talked about ad nauseum for the last couple days because we don't understand the hate. We don't understand why it's not doing well at the box office. We just don't get it because we both watched it. We both loved it. But man, you go online and people are just hating it and you're seeing that wildfire grow to where I actually left the theater, put a tweet out talking about how I loved it, didn't see anything woke about it. And I had somebody that I don't know, I don't follow, they don't follow me, tweet me and basically insinuate that I've never seen the other movie, so I would have no idea if it's good or not. And it's like, I've seen and I love the movies, But I don't think you've seen this movie and you're trying to influence people. You're trying to see if people see my tweet and they see that I liked it. You're trying to be that negativity. Ladies and gentlemen, find your own voice. Pay attention to the reviews. Definitely look at them, listen to them, but don't let them spend your money. Don't let them not let you enjoy an experience. And I want you to know, again, and I'm repeating this, I'm foot stomping this, I want you to know that when it comes to my reviews, it is just painting a picture of my enjoyment of a game. It is not meant to make you spend money or miss out on an adventure. So take it and take the big parts of it. Listen to what I say and kind of make your own mind up. Don't let me make your mind up for you. Don't let anybody online make your mind up, because social media is just getting too big. It's everywhere you look now, and the influence is getting too great that it's causing people to miss out on something. It's causing people to go in with a major bias on something. So just experience the stuff for your own. Make your decisions, and don't let anybody influence you and cost you a great experience. So gamers, when I talk about Indiana Jones, let me just say, I was going to do this episode, I was not going to bring up the whole Microsoft thing and whatnot, because look, I am a PlayStation guy. I only own a PlayStation. I do own a Nintendo Switch, but I mostly play my console games on a PlayStation. That's just how it is. I don't have anything against Xbox. I just haven't had an Xbox since the end of the 360 era. Not a knock on it. I just, as I've said many times before, I don't have the time to sit there and make that decision to own both a PlayStation and an Xbox. And quite frankly, like I told Hulking Yoda today, ultimately, if I owned both, I would see the Xbox just sitting there only getting used when a first-party game comes out, because quite frankly, it would just feel weird not to be playing as many games as I can on the PlayStation, to be using what the PlayStation does with its DualSense, to be earning trophies. Like, it would just feel weird not being on my quote-unquote home console. So I say all that to say, you don't see me bashing Xbox. Yes, I have had episodes where I go, what is Xbox culture? Because I genuinely question it at times. I also have put out episodes where I say, here's what I think Xbox should do in the next couple of months as they navigate these publisher buyouts and whatnot. However, when it comes to the Indiana Jones game, I am very salty about it. Because look, history lesson. Bethesda announced in early 2021 that they were working on an Indiana Jones game. I gotta tell you, I was super stoked. Until a couple months later, we found out Microsoft is now buying Bethesda. Now here's the thing. When they did that, Phil Spencer said it's not about taking away games from different consoles. That's not what he was about. Behind the scenes, we found out during this court case with Microsoft versus the FTC, that's exactly what they did. They went in and there was multiple Bethesda games that if they didn't have an exclusive contract with PlayStation, they cut them. Starfield had a PS5 game, gone. Redfall had a PS5 version, gone. And yes, Indiana Jones also had a PS5 version being made, and Microsoft said, done. To the point that there are emails that later in the year, Phil Spencer himself made the decision that going forward, there wouldn't be any Bethesda games on PlayStation. Now, this is something maybe he's softened his stance on, maybe future games with the non-successful launches of like Redfall and whatnot. However, when it comes to Indiana Jones, it's not being made for PS5. That frustrates me. Now, in that court case, and if you go online, a lot of people will sit there and they will say, well, it's the same as Spider-Man. Let me give you a history lesson on that. That's not true. See, Microsoft was actually approached by Marvel and offered the rights to do a Spider-Man game. Potentially any Marvel game, but specifically in this case, Spider-Man. And Xbox told them no. See, they wanted to focus on their first-party games. I'm not hating that. You go back to 2014 when this deal kind of went down. I respect that. They want to grow their first-party games, as they should be. However, Marvel at that time went to Sony, said, would you want to do something? Sony saw potential, and they jumped. And now they have a great working relationship to the point that we got a Wolverine game. Insomniac is now part of Sony. Like, this has been very beneficial. There's a big difference there. Microsoft was offered Spider-Man. When it comes to Indiana Jones, the difference is Microsoft just bought the company that was making the game and said, cancel a PS5 version. Had the deal not went through, when Indiana Jones comes out, I would be able to play it. I'm a little frustrated that, you know, Phil Spencer has said that the reason they want to do it is there's timelines and we have to worry about making it for two different consoles, and that seems dumb to me. That really seems dumb because Bethesda was going to make the game for PlayStation and Xbox and release in a time. Like, there's no reason why now that they're under Xbox, they can't. In fact, with the resources Xbox have, they should make it easier to make that deadline. the truth of the matter is, this isn't about them competing with Spider-Man or making up for it. It's Microsoft going, we're going to hold this game to get people to buy our Xboxes, which, to be fair, I don't think Indiana Jones has the name value anymore to get people, especially younger generation people, to go out and buy an Xbox to play his game. I just don't. I love Indy, but I don't think he has that drawing power. It's about them trying to build something to compete with Sony's Uncharted series since it's dormant right now. So that's my frustrations. I want this Indiana Jones game. I'm not going to spend $300 to $500 to play it. Ultimately, I'm very, very salty. But let's move past that. Let's get to the positivity here. Let's talk about my idea for an Indiana Jones game. I'm going to be honest with you. If you guys ever played the Infernal Machine on Nintendo 64, or probably my favorite Indiana Jones game, it was so fantastic, Indiana Jones and the Emperor's Tomb, you kind of have an idea of what kind of game I would like to get. And this is probably what I imagine Bethesda is going to go with. We also had the Staff of Kings on PSP and PS2 and the Wii. That was an okay game. That kind of felt like an afterthought. There was a lot of development issues with that. So ultimately, I want a game that is a linear game. Like, I don't want an open world indie game. You can give me hub worlds. You can kind of treat it like maybe Lara Croft, so that way you can kind of do some exploring. I mean, that'd be awesome. But I want a linear game. I want a strong story. I want cool moments where when you go to one area in Peru, for example, and then you say, hey, we actually have to now go to Spain. I want to see the plane, man. I want to see the plane flying over the map with the little dash marks behind it as it goes there. I want strong characters. And more importantly, and this is a must-have option in this. I want Indiana Jones to get his hat knocked off and the option to pick it up and put it back on. Because, man, what's Indiana Jones without that fedora, right? Ultimately, I want a strong, single-player, story-driven game is what I'm getting at. I want this to be set in World War II era, maybe right after. I want that, you know, younger indie, if you will, that late 30s, 40 years old. I want it to reference the previous games without relying on those previous games, because I want it to feel like it's a Indiana Jones movie we just haven't got to see. Now, when you're talking about gameplay, you're talking about controls, I feel like if you take Uncharted and you take Lara Croft, with the latest Tomb Raider trilogy, you kind of got what I want. Indy's got to have a little bit more weight than Drake. I think he's got to be a little bit more punchy, a little bit more heavy. But he's got to be, with that whip, doing the stuff that you could do on Uncharted 4 with the rope that Nathan Drake had. He doesn't necessarily need to be climbing everything. Indy's not exactly the most, you know, limber guy out there. But I want to see those big set pieces as well. I definitely want to see Indy getting almost rolled over by a ball in a tomb. And I think that would be cool. So you have your main mission, like I said, these hub worlds, right? So you go to Peru, and you've got this big area, and you're going through with this, you know, this old ruin, and you're looking for whatever you need. Whatever the MacGuffin is, you're looking for your next clue to get there. Maybe it's some stone tablet. And as you're going through and you get there, on the way to that tablet, maybe there's a side. And if you go down this side, maybe you find an additional tomb to go in. And it could be something cool. Maybe it's an artifact or something that seems kind of meaningless. But what I think would be cool is as you find these things, maybe they kind of tie into the movies. Maybe you find a stone that is a relative of the stones that we saw in the Temple of Doom. Maybe you find a chalice that you read the description and rumors are at one point was selected to be put into a cave guarded by a knight. Just little things like that that kind of tie into it. And what I think would be really cool, we haven't seen this in a long time, is as you unlock these treasures, and, you know, of course, they would build towards trophies and achievements, and you'd get these cool little Easter egg nods, maybe every five you get you some kind of movie fact from the five movies. I think that would be an awesome way to explore the world, get you to want to check things out, using all the different skill sets that Indy would have, as you've got to outmaneuver these tombs. And that's the big thing here too, is when you're going through these tombs, it's not just running through. It's got to be a lot of puzzles, right? If you watch Raiders, the beginning of that is a whole puzzle thing. When you get to the end of The Last Crusade, that itself is a major puzzle. And then that's the big thing as well. When it comes to the story, I don't care what you go with, right? It's always been about chasing the MacGuffin more than using the MacGuffin. The MacGuffin, if you don't know, that is essentially just the item you're looking for. And I'm going to stay away from spoilers from the last movie, so I'm going to use The Last Crusade as an example. The whole movie is about getting to the Holy Grail. That's what it's about. Now, once Indy gets there, and he drinks from the Holy Grail, and he's found it, guess what? The movie's wrapping up. Like, it really doesn't hold any weight past that. The adventure is in the chase for the MacGuffin. So I don't want it to be something where you get this powerful artifact, and then you're blasting away Nazis or anything like that. Like, I want it to be at the very end when you get it, and then figure something out. Because the cool part is very rarely has Indy been able to keep the artifacts that he has searched for. So I think that would be cool. I can just imagine the graphics. When I think about them, I think of Uncharted 4. I think of the first Uncharted game. I also think of Tomb Raider in the first level of Rise of the Tomb Raider, where you get that snow. I want to see jungle. I want to see like a Mediterranean look. I want all of that stuff. I want good, solid combat. And for me with combat, I don't want, like I said, I don't necessarily want a Uncharted style because it's a lot of like punch, punch, punch. I want to see more of a brawler style, if that makes sense. Some weight. I want to see being able to grab an enemy and throwing some uppercuts and throwing some punches. I think that'd be cool. I want, obviously, Indiana Jones to be able to use the revolver when he's got ammo and when it makes sense. And of course, I want to see the whip and how we could use it. Look, it's a video game. You could do a little bit more than Harrison Ford could do in there. So obviously, you would use it for traversal and getting past canyons. But I'd also like to see it used in puzzles and in combat. Not just whipping away weapons, which would be kind of cool. Imagine that you can whip a guy who's got a sword and throw the sword back to you, or his gun, or ammo. But also, how cool would it be if you can use it if you've got multiple people to whip somebody, so now they're tied up, while you can fight the other person, take them out, get your whip back, and kick the other guy's butt. I think that would be fantastic. I think you got to do a few things as well, man. These are small, minor tweaks for indie fans. One, the look of the outfit, everybody knows what Indy is, but you gotta start this thing off with Indy, and not just the fedora, we know that, not just the slacks and the button-up shirt. He's gotta start with a leather jacket. Has to happen. Has to happen. And then eventually he will lose that leather jacket. It won't be at the end of the game. Now it could be, it's no big deal, but I want the leather jacket to start with. As you get further along, you can or can't have it. I'd love to see this game really feature the Nazis, really fighting them. I want some big set pieces, man. The Last Crusade with the tank and stuff. I want something like that in this game. Raiders, I want to call back to that first temple. I think that would be kind of a cool side piece temple. Is maybe you go into one with the same booby traps. I think that would be great. I just want something fun, man. I really genuinely want to feel like Indy. And that's why I'm saying, like, look, Tomb Raider took inspiration from the Indiana Jones movies. Uncharted took inspiration from not just Indiana Jones, but also Tomb Raider. Well, now this Indiana Jones game can take inspiration from both of those. We did see a cool little Easter egg in Uncharted 4 where Nate's remembering something and he's smiling and then he gets punched in the face. That's straight out of The Last Crusade. So I would love to see that. I'd also love to see maybe the game end. This would be really, really cool. So the game ends, you've saved the day, whatever you've done, and the next thing you know, you've got information on where the Cross of Coronado is, and it ends with you on a boat trying to get the cross. Maybe play out the very beginning of Last Crusade. I think that'd be a cool way to tie it into the movies. Or, if you want to do something completely different, and I would be so down with this game if a developer picked it up. I know we've seen this in the Lego games, and look, Lego games are fun and cool, but how cool would it be to just have a game that is just made up of Raiders of the Lost Ark, Temple of Doom, The Last Crusade. And yes, they can put in Kingdom of the Crystal Skull and Dial of Destiny if they want to, but just those first three movies made into video game form. Look, here's the deal, man. I get it. Like I said, we got it in Lego. Back in the day on the Super Nintendo era, man, we would get these all the time, the Star Wars trilogy. All this stuff, man. Like, why can't we do this anymore? Like, I get it. The production is a lot of money, whatnot, but you would get people like myself that would see, oh man, I can relive these movies? Heck yeah, I'm on it. Man, I'm telling you, it's a license to print money. At the absolute very least, man, please, somebody remake or remaster Infernal Machine and The Emperor's Tomb. I would be right there day and date. And I'm just talking remaster, you know, just take them from PS2 and make them look decent, touch up the controls. I am right there for them. So gamers, what have I been playing on the graveyard shift? Well, I'm going to start off with the Nintendo Switch. And I actually got a little bit more time with Assassin's Creed 4 as I do this replay, this time on the Switch. I originally played back on the PS3, and I got to say, I am loving it. I'm at the point now where Edward is starting to kind of understand the Assassins. I'm starting to get into new areas, and I'm starting to unlock new abilities, right? And I'm digging it. Now, unfortunately, I haven't put a ton of time into it, just enough to continue moving a little bit forward. A couple months ago, if you remember, I read the Assassin's Creed 4 book, and it's really kind of helping me see Edward as a much more well-rounded person. But the majority of time I spent on the Switch was with Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3. And look, this is a game that I wanted for years. When I got the Switch, I was excited to get it. I got it. And unfortunately, I just haven't put as much time as I have expected I would, to be honest with you. But the other day, I really sat there and I started playing it. I lost myself for hours. I was so excited to get to the X-Mansion a couple weeks ago when I did that. Man, playing through the X-Mansion was fantastic. Number one, you get some great villains with Mystique and Juggernaut and Magneto to fight, plus Sentinels. Sentinels are always fun. They're handled so well in this game. You also unlock new heroes. You get Psylocke. You also get Nightcrawler. And then, of course, you get the Merc with a Mouth, Deadpool. Hilarious how you actually first see Deadpool as you're kind of, at least for me, I was walking by the side of the mansion fighting Sentinels. I kept hearing something. I was like, what is that sound? And I finally look in the window of the X-Mansion, and there is Deadpool singing a song about cooking tacos while the X-Men are fighting. I'm like, what? And then eventually you get into the mansion, and I'll just say that your fighting ends up disrupting him. He joins your team, and man, he's a lot of fun to play as. Oh, I loved it. Then you get a surprise attack at the end with two villains from the Dark Order, and man, you know what? I was getting my butt whooped, and I was like, I don't know how to beat him. You're not supposed to, by the way. That's just something you have to survive, right? Oh, man, it was so cool. I thought graphically, I thought it looked cool. It looked like what I imagined the X-Mansion would. It made me really wish we would have got a remaster of X-Men Legends 1, because I know X-Men Legends 2, I can play it on PSP, but those two games, man, I don't know why when they did the Marvel Ultimate Alliance 1 and 2 remasters back on the PS4, I don't know why they didn't do the same thing with the X-Men Legend games as well, because if any games deserved it, I think they did. Those were so fun, man. I'd love to get an X-Men Legends 3 at some point. But anyway, this Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3, I was having such a blast with it, man. Getting into the next area, I'm very excited to see where I'm at. I'm in a different dimension. It looks kind of cool. And man, I got to say, I also was experimenting around. And see, I've been doing some upgrades, but I didn't realize there was another whole section to upgrade. You know, when you only play a game every couple weeks for a little bit at a time, you miss things. So going in there realizing, oh my gosh, no wonder my guys are so low level. I'm not upgrading, giving them more health options and more power benefits. This also allowed me to go in there and use stones to go in there and make sure that the people that were a little low level, because they do upgrade a little bit with you, but it's very common to have somebody use a lot. Like in my case, I use Wolverine a lot. He's like level 21. Well, if I pull in Scarlet Witch, she's going to be like a 7. But there's ways to upgrade and get her several levels, that these little items that you unlock along the way. So I really found myself blown away by how much I had been overlooking in this game and how much I absolutely loved it. So I definitely plan on spending a lot more time with Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3 in the coming days. Now, I told you that Indiana Jones influenced a lot of this episode. He absolutely did. Because after seeing that movie on Tuesday, I couldn't help it. Wednesday morning, when it was the graveyard shift, I started off playing Like a Dragon Engine, and I couldn't get Uncharted 4 out of my mind. I'll be honest with you, I just couldn't. That's the closest game I have to really feeling like Indiana Jones, if I'm being honest with you. So I sat there and I looked on my hard drive. I didn't have it installed anymore. And I sat there and I looked, and I did have the Nathan Drake collection on there. That's Uncharted 1, 2, and 3. But for whatever reason, they just weren't calling to me like Uncharted 4. So I said, screw it. I put the disc in. While it was installing, though, I had to find a digital game that I had, and that got me to playing Assassin's Creed Rogue. That's one of the games on my Summer of Freedom that I want to try to put the time into to get the platinum. That's one of those games I always wish I'd have got the platinum back on the PS3. I never did. I almost went last summer and did it, but it just was a lot to kind of do. So when I got it on PS4, it's my plan. I haven't put a lot of time into it, so I'm going to jump back in there. Guys, I had an awesome mission. I had Shay. I had to chase a boat. It allowed me to get a new gun, new Gatling gun. It was taking out some boats. That was a lot of fun. Had to chase this guy down, though, because he had the precursor box. Now, here's the cool thing about that precursor box. I've always kind of wondered, like, hey, in Assassin's Creed Embers, when Ezio, that cartoon, if you've ever seen it, he gives the Chinese assassin, I'm not even going to try to pronounce her name because I'd probably butcher it, he gives her a box, and he says, when you need it, you will know to use it. Well, I got to be honest with you, I never seen it again. I didn't play Chronicles. However, earlier this year, I actually read the manga of Assassin's Creed, which actually covers that box. So I was looking up after that, and I was like, man, we never seen what was in the box. What's in the box, to quote Brad Pitt? And when I looked it up, it said basically that box is what Shay is looking for in Assassin's Creed Rogue. So, tying all that full circle, all these years later, never put those connections together, I actually did the mission where you gotta assassinate the assassin who has that box. That was awesome to me. So I did that. I did some more exploring in the area. I did a couple more viewpoints. And then I got the notification that Uncharted 4 was ready to play. So of course I jumped on it. Now I'll be honest with you, I didn't start at the beginning. I didn't really feel like doing, if you've played the game, it's a fantastic game. I give it a 10 out of 10. But a lot of the game is kind of set up, right? Like you kind of go through Nathan, kind of like showing you what's going to happen later in the game. Then it goes to Nate and Sam as young kids, kind of sneaking around. Then you get Nate at his day job. And then you get home life with Nate. So all of those things, they're great. They're fun to go through. But it wasn't what I wanted to jump into. So I jumped into the mission where it starts off as you're Sam, Nate's brother, and you're escaping this prison. And from then on, I started playing. That's a fun mission. Then you and Drake, you finally meet up. And you're basically playing as Drake at this point, and you're trying to get into this auction, if you will. A lot of fun stuff, classic like heist type stuff. And I spent about an hour and a half playing it. Really did scratch that indie itch. Not gonna lie, I kind of said, man, I probably should have started a lot later in the game, so you're like in the mix with shooting and fighting and all that fun stuff. But for the most part, man, I was having a blast in what I was playing. I definitely could see me playing some more of it. However, to be honest with you, it is my summer of freedom. But I do have some goals that I have set to accomplish during this summer. Now, and again, just like last week, I'm calling it Summer of Freedom, but it really goes into October. And I just can't see just kind of getting super distracted on just any game. And as much as I want to play Uncharted 4 right now, I'm going to put it aside. I went back and I got back into Like a Dragon Inshin, and just, oh man, a couple weeks with this game now, I am loving it. It is so fantastic. I can't express it enough. I love the combat in this game. The different styles you have. Yeah, four styles just like in Yakuza 0. However, for me, I think this is superior. The sword, the brawling, the sword and gun, or just the gun to me, they all bring their own positives to the combat, and I absolutely love it. The story is picking up as you're kind of getting embedded in this organization because you need to find out who went after your quote-unquote dad. Oh man, I'm so wrapped up into it. It was fantastic. And then I did jump into some Shadow of War, and I gotta be honest with you, this is a platinum chase for me, but this is a cautious platinum chase because, hey, I played through this game, I beat Act 1, 2, and 3, which is the end of the game, back in 2018, but the reason I didn't finish the Shadow Wars and the reason I didn't get the platinum is because of the grinding that was done in Shadow Wars, and it was all built, unfortunately, to get you to get your loot box. I've talked about this many times. So going into this, I've knocked out a couple of those miscellaneous trophies, but really the biggest thing is I just got to play through this Shadow Wars. And I'm not going to lie, today was one of those days that I was like, okay, this could be the point that I either stop or I keep playing, because I was getting ready to do a siege, and man, my captains were so low powered. I mean, they were in the 20s versus the people that were going to attack my castle was in the 50s. However, today, thanks to asking some questions on Reddit, today I realized, and I probably forgot this years ago, was that you could actually go in there and spend some of the currency in the game to upgrade your character 5 levels or 1 level. And by doing that, I was able to get my war chiefs fully up to 50, and we started doing the siege, and we had no problem winning. Man, I thought I was losing some of my war chiefs, but I was actually just losing a couple of captains, and I hate to say this, but captains are kind of cannon fodder in a siege anyway. It's the war chiefs you want to protect, you want to keep them safe. I was able to convert some people from the enemy side and ultimately win that siege. Now what I'm very excited for is not only did I find a way to break down some of the extra armor and stuff that I had, so I was able to put more money in that bank so that I could buy more upgrades as I get to the next area that I'm at, but as I'm there, this is the third siege in stage 3 of the Shadow Wars, if you will. As I'm there, I noticed, looking at it, that it looks like the attackers are all people that I own. Like, I've already, I guess, possessed them, if you will, whatever you call it. So, and they're under level of the people that I have defending my fort. So I'm hoping this is a pretty easy siege. Online, when I was talking to people on Reddit, they made it seem like as long as you put the work in to grind earlier, it should make the rest of Shadow Wars pretty easy to kind of maintain and take over. So I'm hoping this is where it's at. Like I said, once I take this siege, then I'll be on stage 4. There are 10 stages. So again, if I get to stage 5 and it just becomes a pain, then I'll probably put the game away and move on. But right now, it is something I would really like to get that platinum trophy. So I'm going to keep pushing it. But other than that, I got to say, man, it has been a fun graveyard shift. Now, I completely missed last week my June game of the month, my shout out of the month, my trophy of the month, all because I was very, very distracted with everything going on unfortunately, with last month. As you know, I only came back for the last couple weeks. I will say, I'm going to go ahead and a week later, I'm going to give the game of the month for June to Gotham Knights. I can't tell you how much I loved playing Gotham Knights. I finished it in June. I put a lot of effort into it. So that is definitely my game of the month. It will be my platinum of the month as well. Now, kicking off July, I'm going to go ahead and give you my shout out of the month. And that is Uncharted 4. Ultimately, I can't lie to you. The weight just weighed on me so heavy. I know it was influenced by Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny. But it got me to the point where there have been so many times in the past where I've thought about the game. Or I've went to the point that I've downloaded the game and then I never played it. Well, with Uncharted 4, I thought about it, I installed it, and I played it. So that is my July shout out of the month. Gamers, I hope you enjoyed this episode. I'd love to know your thoughts on the Indiana Jones game, heck, even the Indiana Jones movie, and I would love to know your thoughts on how much you let somebody's review influence your purchase or your enjoyment of a game. And then, of course, there's my graveyard shift. I cover a lot between the Switch and the PlayStation 5, so please, let me know. TheGraveyardGamer@gmail.com, TheGraveyardGamer on Instagram, or TheGraveyardG on Twitter. Till next time, I'll be creeping on the graveyard.